Welcome to the FaithBridge Men's Podcast. This teaching was recorded live on March 11th, 2025, during the sixth week of the series, My Brother's Keeper, a study in 1 and 2 Timothy. Bible teacher Mike Whitaker unpacks chapter 6 of 1 Timothy and what it means to fight the good fight of faith. Due to technical difficulties, only the second half of Mike's message was recorded. Mike's first main point was, what is the fight? And we join him now as he is unpacking the second main point, why we fight. He is about to dive into Colossians chapter 3, verse 23.
Verses 23 and 24 in the New Living Translation. I'm loving that right now. I don't know why. It says, well, work willingly to do at whatever you do, as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. We kind of talked about this earlier, right? Do it willingly, right? Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ, right? So we're supposed to do this as unto God. Everything is worth doing it unto God. So it's a fight. Why do we fight? Because everything is for God, right? Literally, our life has to represent him, right? And the crazy part is if we do what Paul says, like Paul is telling Timothy, matter of fact, all these kind of evil things and ways will go away as long as we're pursuing righteousness in God. People won't even find fault in you. They won't find a way. Nobody can say you left 15 minutes early. Nobody can say you wasn't treating your wife right. Nobody can say you were a drunk in this space and acted out of character, right? Nobody can say whatever the negative thing is, right, that we represent, what our lives represent, okay? And I'll be the first one to admit that I'm still going to speed. Where the cop at? Because that's just what I do. I got a heavy foot, so I apologize. I'm still representing Christ. I got a Jesus sticker on the back of my car. He just drive fast. Okay. I'm sorry. I had to get that out there real quick. All right. So we got to go after it, right? So here it is. If you go back to 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, verses 13 and 14, it says, and I charge you before God. Now, when I hear the word charge, right? When I hear the word charge, I think negativity. I'm like, man, I'm charged with a crime. I'm charged with this. But charge really, it simply means to impose a task or responsibility on somebody, right? So Paul, he says, man, I charge you. This is for you. I charge you to not only just to before God, right, who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave a good testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering. What's the command, right? Then no one can find fault from you from now until Christ returns. What's the command? Really, to follow the commandments of God, follow the statutes of God, live, right, and do everything as unto God. It's really, really that simple, and we don't like it because it becomes difficult, okay, to do those things because we want to be in our own. Okay, so that's really, really important. Now, verse 3, point number 3. Let's keep going because I don't want to be before you long in the black church. I'm not going to labor. I'm not going to be before you long. We're not going to belabor the hour. That's how they talk where I came up. So don't judge me. All right, so how do we fight? How we fight, right? So how we fight. Now, I purposely skipped over a portion of it. Sorry, this portion of our text, right, is well known and is often understated and overstated. Okay, and when we use it today. And the truth is, anytime money's involved, people get weird. Would y'all agree? It's like, oh, here we go. He's trying to get my money. Right? It just is what it is. Right? But verse 10, let's read verse 10 together in 1 Timothy 6 chapter, verse 10. It says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierce themselves with many sorrows. Did it say money's evil? Money's not evil, right? Money's not evil, but it's the what of money. Because anywhere, here's the crazy part, is the Bible mentions very closely related money in the heart a lot, right? If you go back and look, it says, if you want to find a man's heart, you know where his treasure is, right? It mentions it a whole lot. So why does it cause all kind of evil when you place love on money? Is just because it distorts us, right? Very much so. And it's more so about how our heart posture towards something. Because anything you love more than God, you'll do what? It becomes your what? It becomes your God. You idolize it, right? A lot of us do that. I told you my story before. My ex-wife, I used to idolize her. I loved her more than I loved God. So I was doing things. She had a place in my heart, and God was below it, right? Anytime that money is placed that high, you're going to do whatever it takes to get to the money and not what God wants you to do, okay? So that's really, really important. The simple truth is, a lot of us, who would like to have more money? Oh, y'all don't want to raise your hand now. I didn't say love money. Golly, all of us, we would love to have more money. There's nothing wrong with money, guys. Okay, I'm in finance. Just trust me, there's nothing wrong with money. We want you to have some money, okay? Money's good, okay? Matter of fact, I'm going to give you this. Ecclesiastes 10:19, it says, money solves all problems. It's biblical. I don't know what to tell you, right? It says, the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. Which, are y'all righteous? Who's considered righteous? How? Through Christ Jesus, right? The wealth of the wicked. So money's not a bad thing, okay? So how many of us would like to have more money? Oh, now y'all want to participate. I can't stand y'all, right? This is crazy. All right, here we go. All right, so love money. So money's not bad. But the truth is, wanting more money, most of us, if you don't already give with the amount that you have, the little you have, the lot that you have, getting more money, you won't give then either. It's just the truth, right? So if you can't save $100 when you got $1,000, you're not going to save $10,000 when you got $100,000, whatever the case may be, right? Whatever, you just won't do it. It's just normal, right? So, and here's the crazy: God doesn't waste resources. He wants to bless, and he wants to bless others because they blessed us, right? He doesn't waste resources, right? He said he gives seed to the sower. So, if you're wondering why you're not getting more seeds, probably because you're not sowing enough. And that's in every area; it's not just money. Get quiet in this church. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. That was a black saying, too, in case y'all didn't know. I'm sorry. Grew up in the church. I'm sorry. I apologize. Here we go. All right, so it says, some will use the abundance of being blessed, right? So we're all not gifted in the same areas. Some people are gifted in the area of finance. If you want to know the spiritual gifts, right, and places where you're gifted, go to Romans. I'm going to give you all this. Write it down. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. It'll list a whole bunch of spiritual gifts that happen there. It's also in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter as well, right? Really dives into all of the spiritual gifts here, okay? Now, just because somebody's blessed in the area of finance doesn't mean anything. It's just what God blessed them in. Okay, you might be blessed to sing. You might be blessed to teach. You might be blessed with wisdom. Some are given leadership. Some are given compassion. Others are wisdom. Some people got the ability to encourage very well, exhortation, whatever that is. That's what you're supposed to be giving, right? So don't place that thing, whatever that thing, you shouldn't love. And the money was there, but don't place that thing. Love that thing so much that you place it above where God is. Okay, so when you got monetary things, the truth is to have more money, Paul tells them exactly how the rich should live in the kingdom. Okay, so if you're not willing to do what Paul says right here, then you probably don't want it anyway, right? You probably shouldn't get it anyway, and God knows our heart and what we need and where we're supposed to be, right? 1 Timothy 6:17, and this is New Living Translation, it says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable, which is crazy, because if y'all just looked at the stock market, what happened? So if you had money anyway, you probably lost some. So you can't rely on that thing anyway, right? You can't rely on it. I remember, so there was a time, man, me and my wife, I had just gotten out the military. I gotten out the military, and I picked up a job. And the job, because I had a clearance, right? It takes forever when you become a contractor to that clearance to transfer. So I got picked up for the job in May. I didn't start until October. Very long time without working, right? I mean, we're a two-income household, so my dad was like, come do some carpentry, and I'm like, Dad, I don't know how to do that. Like, I mean, I want to be like Jesus, but how close can, right? He was the carpenter, not me. He's like, son, I got you. You can do it. And I'm like, okay. So anyway, started doing some carpentry. We're really good at it. I got really good at it, right? Didn't even know how good I was. But there's a time where my wife was looking at the finances, and she comes out. She's like, hey, I just got paid. All the bills are paid, but we have no money for food. And I was like, and we got a daughter and a son. And I'm like, okay. And she's like, what are we going to do? And I was like, are we just going to trust God? She's like, that's it? All right. She's like, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah, I just trust God too much. She's like, okay. So do you have any jobs lined up? Because I'm doing carpentry at the time. And I'm like, no, I don't have anything. And I'm getting dressed. And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to work. I thought you didn't have any jobs. I thought you needed $750. That's what I'm like, what are you talking about? I trust God, right? I don't really know what to do. All I'm doing is what he told me to do. And she's like, oh my God, this dude is crazy. He is insane. And I'm like, she's like, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know what else we're going to do. I'm like, yeah, me neither, but I trust God, right? In the moment, that's all I can say, and just go to work. So I left, didn't have anything to do. And I'm like, Lord, you know, right? You know exactly what I need in this moment. And we need this money. I don't know how my family's going to eat. I'll be all right. I didn't even have money to put more gas in my truck with the trailer. Like, he was insane, right? So I'm out riding, get on the highway, and I get a phone call. I'm like, hello? Hey, is this, it was Witt's Carpentry. I stole it from my dad. Whatever, right? Said, this man. Oh, man, I got something I need you to look at. When do you have time? And I was like, oh, let me check. I'm on my way to see a client. Let me see if they can push it back. Promise, exact words. I lied. Don't judge me. So that's what I said, though. But I was like, okay. So he said he can push it back. I can be there in about 30, 45 minutes. He's like, yeah, that'd be great. I'm like, awesome. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I go to the guy's house. And he's like, yeah, I need this done. I need that done. I'm like, oh, he's like, yeah, how much, you know, let me go do some calculations, do my calculations. I call my dad. He's like, yeah, right, too easy. You got it. I'm like, all right, cool. I want to make sure I was on point. So I guess, so the materials is about $250 and the job is $750. He's like, oh, cool. Yeah, so when can you do it? I thought you had another appointment to go to. Here it is again. I said, let me call and see if he's okay if I push it back. So bad. But I was like, yeah, he said I could push it back. I mean, if you can do it today, you can knock it out. How long will it take? And I'm like, a couple hours. He's like, yeah, I'll give you the money for the materials, and then I'll have the cash for you when you finish. $750. So I go home, 4 hours of work. I do what I had to do. He gave me the money. I go home, and I put it on the counter. Like, here you go. And she's like, how did that happen? Like, I trust God, right? So I had to rely on God and not the money that we made. Does that make sense in that moment? So it's really, really important that you don't rely on your money. The money's unreliable. Okay, not even on the job, the stock market, all that, right? It says, then we'll keep going. It says, their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. All right, so that's super important. So here's the question. Will you use what God gave you for good and to progress the kingdom and further the kingdom? Will you do that, right? How important is that, is the fight for you? All right, so now, if I think about each one of the points, okay, what's the fight? Point number one, what's the fight? The fight is, you know, doing everything is unto God, showing love, the love of God, to loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbors yourself. That's the fight, right? Living in a way that people are drawn to Christ, right? Not, they might be drawn to you as the vessel, and you point them back to Christ. That's the fight. What's the fight all about? Why do we fight? Well, Jesus is a worthy cause to fight for. Right, to show how God has changed our life. Man, my life would not be where it is today if it had not been for Christ. Right, to win others to Christ. We're making disciples of men. And lastly, for his namesake. Right, we're doing it for the name of Jesus. Then how do we fight? Right, so we're supposed to use the gifts that God gave us. Right? Whether that's money, whether that's teaching, singing, serving, compassion. Some people are great at healing, so whatever, leading, wisdom, all of those things. We're supposed to be using it. That's how we fight. And then we fight on our knees, right, in prayer. Now, as men, sometimes we're like, man, that's not a passive position. Because the fight isn't even earthly. It's a spiritual fight anyway, right? So fighting with our hands doesn't do us any good. So we get on our knees. We fight with our worship. Right. And sometimes it's hard for men to worship. Would y'all agree? It's hard. Right. Unless we hear our favorite song from back in the day, then we'll turn up real quick for that. Right. But it becomes difficult. But we fight with the way we worship and we fight with our lives. OK. And the whole thing is, it's a matter of the heart. What's your heart posture towards God? OK. That's all what it's all about. All right. So let me pray for us and then we'll get into some table discussions. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this word, God. I thank you, God, for you just being able to reveal yourself to us and understanding that we're here to fight the good fight of faith, God, that we are supposed to represent our lives for you to win others so others might be drawn to you, God. I thank you, God, that in this moment in time that each man will have a clear, a great conversation at their tables, that they will be open to hearing from you, Father, and as we close out. So we give you praise, glory, and honors. In Jesus' name we pray.